4th of July.
Oh, yeah, that's today.
So I'm going to start right out with a little bit of music. Let's celebrate freedom all over the world. Let's make it happen first. This is coming right up on the subject, folks. Arts Live and Local is sponsored in part by the Astor Street Opry Company, opening Thursday, July 11th. And this is the 30th season. Information and tickets available by calling 503-325-6104 or online at astorstreetopryCompany.com. And what are they opening? Let's hear everybody all together.
Shanghai in Astoria!
Woo-hoo-hoo! Okay, folks, you know who my first guests are now, don't you? Okay, well, I do have a whole bunch of Shanghai folks who have been Shanghai'd in the past, present, and will continue to be for a long time as far as this community is concerned. So we're happy to welcome the director this year, Nate Buchholz, who's been around this area on stage and off stage for how many years, Nate?
Oh, I don't know, since 1989. How's
there
that?
There you go. That'll do it.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, we are glad you're here too. Sandy Hilton, who does a little of everything at Shanghai.
Yes.
And how long have you been doing that?
I actually was in it the second year. And second and third year, and then I moved away, and then I came back. And since I've been back, my whole family's been in it at least once.
Yeah. Well, now, wait a minute. When you say that, because we're talking this is the 30th season.
Yeah.
So you go way back.
Way back.
Okay. Wonderful. And then we have a relative newbie, and that would be Brian Ashby. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
And this is your what year?
This is going on my second year.
Do you have a background in theater or silliness or what?
Just a little bit. The Hawaiian Actors Network back in the Isles.
Back in where?
The Hawaiian Islands.
Oh, excuse me, the Isles.
Yes. Yes.
I think of Scotland when I think of the Isles, you know, Road to the Isles and all of that.
He confuses us too.
Yeah. Well, isn't that exciting, though, because Brian did not come up through Junior Shanghai. He is not an 18-year-old, not even a 30-year-old. I'm not asking. I have no idea how old he is, but he's a mature man. Well, I don't know about mature, but he's of an age.
Somewhere's in there.
And the good news is that you are constantly bringing in new talent, and
yes,
that's very exciting.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about this year's Shanghai in Astoria. We said it opens July 11th. Tell us about it.
Well, we have a pretty good show in store for folks. You know, it's Shanghai. It's going to be the same show every year. You know,
that
kind of
reckon
it to the a lot of we have the fans who are like the Rocky Horror Picture Show fans.
Yep,
they come,
yep.
But we get to do it a little different every year, so they don't know what to expect. You know, as far as things go, that's the beauty of live theater and something like Shanghai.
Right.
You know,
however, you're the director, so
yeah.
Maybe do you have any idea what's going to be happening?
Of course I do.
Oh, okay. I was a little bit nervous there, folks, because we do have some folks in this theater
I gotta say, come on down and enjoy the show. I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. You know, it's our 30th year. And we try to put on the best performance we ever have, of
course. Are you doing anything special for the anniversary or just special as always?
Well, when we have former alumni come to see the show in the audience, we're gonna put a spotlight on them and welcome them in that respect and whatnot.
Sweet.
They're going to do up the whole theater with pictures and scrapbooks from the past 30 years.
Oh, nice.
Which will be really nice for people to come around. I'm just amazed by everything that they have.
Yeah.
All the photographs, it takes me way back.
Boy, I should see if they need some of my ancient T-shirts and sweatshirts.
That would be very cool.
That would be nice.
We're looking for stuff like that. Memorabilia. Yeah, so.
Right, with Judy's artwork on all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah,
so
I'll
check in with you later on that.
Yeah.
So, Sandy, what motivates you to stay connected to Shane?
It's never the same, never dull moment. Always doing something different. It's always a challenge. It's never boring. We're always coming up with new ideas to do different things.
What kinds of things are you doing? I said a little bit of everything. Tell us.
I do a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing lights and sound for most of the summer, but I'm also going to be on stage this year.
Oh, really?
But
during the Olios or in the production?
Both.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm coordinating summer Sundays, which we're going to have concerts on the Sunday evenings. We don't have the Sundays that we don't have matinees. We're going to have concerts down there in the evenings. Wow. $5 concerts and
fantastic
bands from all over coming and some local ones.
This
are coming.
Is new. This
yeah,
is something
it's something
new.
Something
yeah.
We decided to try.
Right.
Something to do on a Sunday night in Astoria.
And you've got your own space.
Yep,
so,
and we've got our own space. So I do like promotions for that kind of thing. I'm also the janitor, and I do...
Now comes the important
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, now. And then right. I do also volunteer at the bar, and I also help do all kinds... I mean, there's anything that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much have gotten
my
hands
in it. Pick
up
all the pieces. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And who from your family is involved?
This year, I'm the only one. Well, no, my daughter, Carrie's going to be here from Eugene. She's going to be a senior at college this year, and
mm-hmm.
she's been in it for 10 years now. And she's going to be one of the alumni that comes back for a couple weeks. And my son did sound and lights 1 year, and my oldest daughter was in it for a year.
Wow.
And then my younger son was in the first 4 years of Junior Shanghai. So, yeah, the whole
Wonderful.
Family's been involved.
Yeah, yeah. So theater's been an important part. I want to come back to you guys to talk to us about Olios, but we have this relative newcomer, Brian from the Isles. And Brian, you weren't born in Hawaii, were
no,
you?
No, I'm mainland here originally, but yeah.
But he does talk the language, doesn't he? Mainland, Isles, you know, like that.
Oh, yeah.
And how did you get to Astoria?
Well, I came here a little over a year, about a year and a half, going on 2 years ago. It's great. Place to be when the sun came out. Yes, it really does shine brighter in Astoria.
And the sun shines brighter in Astoria. Oh, yes, that's one of the songs from the Shanghai, of course.
Yep.
And what are you doing? This is your second year.
Yes.
Okay. Why? What made you even consider joining this wacky bunch of folks over at the Astor Street Opry?
Well, it started out originally just giving moral support to somebody else. And it's a great way to get involved in the community.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different ways to express yourself in this, as Sandy was pointing out. There are so many things, so many people behind the scenes that nobody sees that contribute to this that really make it a fantastic show for the community.
This is definitely community theater, no doubt about that. Yeah. So what are you going to be doing this year?
This year, I will be primarily Mike the Sailor, mm-hmm. A little fight scene involved, so a
you're
little slapstick
humor. You're wearing your striped shirt already.
Yes, yes,
you?
Indeed.
I see. But you're not wearing a hat of any kind.
Oh, he's got it in his hand.
Oh, okay, there you go. All right. I haven't seen the show ever, have I? Okay,
no.
Go ahead. And so... are you going to be doing that all summer? Now, wait a minute. We have...
There's a couple other parts coming up, so I'll be filling in as needed.
Oh, nice. Okay, it opens on the 11th. How long
It opens on the 10th, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right.
It opens
with
on Thursday
with a big barbecue.
Night. Yes.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, but we have our dress rehearsal on Wednesday, which is going to be a freebie night.
Mm-hmm.
First come, first serves. Mm-hmm. Doors open at 6:30. You know that. So.
Yeah. Okay, so how long does it run, though? When does it close?
September 20...
I think that was September 14th.
14th, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So it's
10 weeks through the summer.
Yeah, over 2 months.
It can be
that's
a grind.
Yeah. So, Nate, do you feel as though once it opens, your job is done?
No, not at all. Because, you know, it gives me an opportunity to see different audiences and how they react to the new bits we put in. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work, when it comes up Wednesday, our pickup rehearsals, I can tweak it or change it or cut it out.
Oh, I like that.
You know,
that.
And as any cast member who's worked with me before, they can tell you, I've changed things right up to the last week.
I'm sure the cast loves that.
It keeps it fresh for the cast and for the audience as well, which is important for everyone. I want everyone to have the best time they can have.
Yeah. Have you ever actually been on stage in Shanghai?
Oh, yeah. I played Yako my first 10 years.
So. Yeah. I remember that. You're so good at accents. Nate has quite a heavy background in theater, though. You've played all kinds of
them. Yeah. Lots of community theater and other shows with the Opry Company.
Where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from Central Oregon. I moved to the coastal area in 85.
Okay.
And my first theater thing was with the Lewis and Clark pageant the first year they had it down there, and they paid all the actors and they went broke.
My mouth dropped open when you said those two words in the same sentence.
Yeah.
paid actors.
I know. It was quite the experience. We were invited up to come see Shanghai. They said, come on up and see us. It was their fourth year running. And I fell in love with the show. It was such a good time just to sit and watch and I got into it. And I spoke with Dale Corbett, the original director, afterwards. And he's, quote unquote, you need to get your butt up here.
Sounds like Dale.
And I did. And I've been working with the Opry Company. And back when the college had a program, I worked with them. I've been doing something.
Yes.
Well, up till 99, I moved to Florida in 2000.
And fortunately, we got you back.
Yeah, I had to come back. I mean,
you and Walt Plummer, I remember when you guys left, and it was like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah, so, I ended up back here. Yes. The Opry Company's my family. You know, they opened their arms up to me back in 97 when I had an accident. They took care of me and my family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'll always be grateful for that.
Isn't that a wonderful thing about this community?
Yes, it is.
It's a large community, and then we have these smaller communities, and yes, people take care of one another and reach out, and that's very special. What I wanted to know is, or for people to find out, what is this oleo thing we're talking about? It's not a cookie. It's with an L, not an R.
It is a stew.
Spicy mix of meats and vegetables.
Exactly.
Spicy stew of meat and vegetables.
I see. That sounds like a quote somehow. You know, the quote I like, too, is historical hysterical.
Yeah.
Because it really is, for those people who see it for the first time may think that it's just a funny thing and a melodrama, quote unquote. But actually, it is based, it's got lots of history in it. It's a great way to find out. And then you have to check it out and see what's true, what's not true. Mm-hmm. But that's true in all historical novels and things. So tell us what the Oreo. Oh, I see. I said
the Oreos.
Oreos. I've been eating cookies. Oleos are.
Throwback to the vaudeville age, you know, they're little warm-up acts, so to speak, and it's almost like a vaudeville variety type show. We'll have someone comes out and sings out a song, someone will come tell jokes, you know, little variety of acts like that, and it's just to warm up the audience, you know, so they can have, it's a variety, and it also showcases some of the other talents we have.
So who does? Are these people in the show who are doing it, or are these anyone who wants to can come and talk to you about it, or is it all set for this year?
We're always open for new oleo acts, and I encourage them, people that, to get a hold of Chris Lynn Taylor. Mm-hmm. If they ask me, I'll refer them to her, because she kind of manages those things, but this year, mostly, we have a few people who come in from the outside to do it. They'll come and do their oleo act and go home.
Okay.
But a lot of the cast members are participating in that.
Outside meaning local, but not part of the play.
Yeah.
You know, we did a loving and friendly roast for Michael McCusker this year. And by gosh, Judy didn't come up with the fish. You know, and hand it to him. And it was great for those people who had, you know, there were a lot of people from all over the state and elsewhere, and they had no idea what was going on. But the local folks just got such a kick out of that. It was really great. Right.
But then you look at all. I talked to him just the other day, and he said he'd like to come back and do it.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Yeah.
I just need to get some dates for him and get him on down there.
Yeah, because it's there's quite a variety there, too, with that big open book and then the fish on the stick. And
yes.
And kids as well, singing and dancing. And
yes.
Their way across. So it's
fun for everyone.
Yeah, fun for everyone. It's true. Shanghai'd in Astoria opens on July 10th at the Astor Street Opry Company, which is 129 West Bond. And you can get your tickets in advance, and they are reserved seats. And some of the shows sell out. Not all, but some. And definitely by the end, they're all sold out. But you should figure out who's coming to visit you or whether it's your turn to go back again with friends or on your own. And give them a call, 503-325-6104. Or get on over there nice and early. The show starts at 7.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd need to be there at 6:30. And yes, it runs all summer, but, you know, the summer goes fast.
Yes, it does.
It really does.
You know, I'm also glad, you know, we have to double cast some people because 10 weeks is a long run.
It is.
You know, one person will play crook for 5 weeks, and we'll have another person playing crook. So
that's kind of fun, too. You might want to see it twice with
exactly.
two different people.
It's what never about, the same way twice.
What about Sneak? Is that play? Or excuse me, Snake.
Snake. I think we have three.
I can't even remember.
I think we have three different Sneaks this summer.
Oh, great.
Maybe four. We don't know. It depends on if some of the alumni want to come back and give it a shot.
I love
We're always open to that, too. So
that is an amazing part. And it is, even though it's you know, constructed, it's so different depending on who plays it, and the whole body thing. Some of these people who crawl around, you know, are just I'm doing with my hands and my body right now. So
well, I think Yako and Anne are the most amazing myself,
Yako.
Of course. No preferential treatment there.
No. Not at all. Okay, folks. You know what we didn't do? I'm sorry, we're playing insiders again. And maybe Brian, you can do this. Just give us a overview. What is Shanghai? Where does that word come from? There are actually people who don't know how that relates to Astoria. And then just sort of an outline of the play.
Well, Astoria was the Shanghai capital of the world. However, Shanghai had come from China, where they would put a Mickey in their drink and drop them through a trap door and send them off. It was a way to induct them into service.
And this is real. This is true story.
This is very real. And this continued up until past World War II, up until, I think, early 50s was the last occurrence where the Daily Astorian, I believe, did a story bringing this to public attention, that this was still going on.
In the 50s, you say?
In like 50, 51, I think, was the last incident. And this brought it to public attention. But Astoria being built out over a river, it was quite easy for you to be in a bar and have a trap door dropping you right down onto a boat. So they didn't even have to have the tunnels they had in Portland.
Oh.
They just right out there on the water, and away you'd go. You'd wake up in the morning and, well, you were out to sea and, well, who knows when you'd be coming back.
Wow, fantastic. So that's in the play.
It is.
And in several different ways. And what else is covered in this play?
Well, we have the villain who comes to his background, comes from a very notorious father. And he's the guy that wants to take over the town, become the richest person in the world.
Right.
So he's the guy that wants to Shanghai Eric so that he can get control of the cannery and get his opposition out of the way.
And, you know, he's the guy who basically wants to Shanghai Astoria. And we have a few. Oh, did I say that?
Yes.
Anyway, that's the guy. Folks, if you're inclined to hiss and boo and throw popcorn.
Throw popcorn, absolutely.
You've got to throw the popcorn.
Of course, there's actually free popcorn for the start, and then you go and buy some more. So you can throw popcorn. And of course, there are rules. You don't throw the small kernels. You don't want to hurt somebody, really. You just want to make your opinion. And I think an informed public is very good.
Yeah, we also discourage major league popcorn throwers. You know, they'll do the wind-up in the pitch.
Oh, yeah.
It gets painful for the actors.
Yeah, plus it can get slippery on the floor.
Oh,
so
definitely.
It's all in fun, but in fact, I stick to the hisses myself.
There you go.
I leave the popcorn to other people. I don't have a great right arm, so I just. But I think it's interesting to realize that this goes way back, and today we're still trying to save our Columbia River and our town and all kinds of other things from various and sundry. So the evil, you know.
Max Crook is always.
Yeah. Max Crook is always.
There's
around.
Always somebody. There's always a Max Crook around somewhere.
There you go. There you go.
You know, it's still amazing. 30 years.
It is.
30 years of this show, and, you know, longest running melodrama.
And so many people have been through it. And I'm still picturing Rhonda being one of the dancers from the very beginning.
We got her above the bar. We got her picture up there.
Love it. Well, I hope.
And we do have Cheryl too. That's been in for Cheryl Cochran. She was in it years ago, and she's back again too.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, she said no, I couldn't stay away. She's like,
great.
It's amazing. The show is older than some of the performers. A lot of the performers.
Yes,
you know,
I bet. But not kind of the people in the room here. Okay. Folks, the show opens on the 10th of July, and give a call, 503-325-6104, and get all the details and get yourself a ticket and head on down and support your local theaters and arts. Thanks so much for coming
Thank you, Carol.
Sandy Hilton, Brian Ashby, and Nate Buchholz.
Thank you
very good. Yes,
and those of you for whom this applies, break your legs. This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and we have the hat is on. The sailor is ready to go. And coming up right now, I have a tune ready to go. This one goes out to the Oregon Country Fair. All those who are going to the fair, have a fabulous and magical fair. Baby Gramps. And Baby Gramps is, by the way, performing at the Nehalem Bay Winery tomorrow.
I saw some fairy wings yesterday here.
Do you believe in fairies? Yeah! And the stories that never grow old? Now there are fairies born in the bottom of the garden, beneath a cabbage leaf. That's the tale that we have often been told. So as we go back to our baby days, let's go back to our childhood ways, and let's all be fairies. With a tinkle, tinkle, ganache, ganache, ganache.
Let's sing that one.
Let's all be fairies. With a tinkle, tinkle, ganache, ganache, ganache.
That's the part, that's the part.
Oh, let's dance around and go silly. Waving a buttercup, maybe just a bent lily. Oh, we'll go wham-a-bubbly, wibbly, wah-ha-ha-ha-humsy. You go down when I say dash, dash. Let's all be fairies. With a tinkle, tinkle, ganache, ganache, ganache.
Oh, yeah, you go, baby Gramps, ganache, ganache, ganashing. Sounds like some kind of chocolate to me. I don't know. But that is Country Fair is coming up next weekend. And there are a lot of Astorians heading down there. And I send my love to all. Gonna miss it. So, woo, we got vehicles. And we also have more theater. And this theater is not actually going to be on stage until, I believe, August. However, the auditions are happening now, coming up this Thursday and Friday at 7 o'clock. This is for the one-act plays, and this I've got here the three, two writers and one director, I think. Is that right?
Three directors and two writers.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, okay.
Let's get in a little closer to the mics, please. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to let Joe tell you about it because Joe is producing.
Yeah.
Not that close. Yeah. Okay, Joe Pagliani is here. He is the producer of the One Act Play Festival. And this is the Peninsula Players at the River City Playhouse in Ilwaco. And so, Joe, you wrote a play, and you are directing a play, and you're producing the whole thing?
I am.
I'm exhausted. What's going on here?
I know. Well, producing is something that I've not done before, and it's very interesting. I'm enjoying
interesting.
It very much.
That word is always a little scary.
It was only yesterday that we acquired our third director, Laurie Carter.
Thank you, Laurie, for stepping up to the plate.
Thank you so much. And Robert was there from the start, Robert Brake and myself. And so what we're trying to do is get these auditions established in people's calendars so that they can come out on July 10th, 11th at 7 p.m. at the River City Playhouse in Ilwaco, 127 Lake Street, and to take a chance and go ahead and try out for one of these three plays. They're very exciting parts, I can tell you. Not just because I wrote one and Robert wrote one and Rose Power wrote the third one that
Laurie is going to direct.
Yeah.
Okay, when we say the 10th and 11th, that is this coming Thursday
and Friday.
And Friday at 7, and then you have
a Saturday morning 10 a.m. audition for those who couldn't get there during the week.
Good.
And so we encourage everyone, and especially first-time actors, mm-hmm. first-time directors, first-time producers, we really love to get people involved in our stage events, and we have so much to offer.
And this is these are one acts. They're not, it's not Reader's Theater.
No, it's not.
So you do have to memorize some, but it's a one act.
Yes.
So you're probably, you know, if you haven't done it before, this is a great way to break in.
Yes, it is.
Sure.
And, you know, even if you think, there's no way that I'm going to get up on stage, going to an audition is really, really cool. And even trying out. I mean, you can always say, wow, that was interesting. Well, maybe next year. But
some of the things that I think the audience would find fascinating is some of the parts that are being auditioned are people like Big Hair. Big Hair, who is a young teen or adult with a keen scientific mind.
I was just going to say, wait a second, Big Hair, I can play
you
that.
You can play that
until
part,
you
Carol.
Said a young teen, and
well,
I said, forget that.
You could be that, too.
I have stories about that, Carol.
And then, you know, Mr. Gumdrop, excellent high school principal, and so and plus Robert has some very interesting characters' names.
So I take it that there's a sense of humor involved.
There's a lot
here.
Of humor. I
oh,
think
yeah.
we've got
right.
three very funny plays.
Right.
Here.
Okay. Yeah. And so that is Science Wizards, but you don't have to be a science wizard.
Well, actually, the full title of that name, Carol, is the Bug Science Wizards of Ilwaco High. The Bug Science Wizards distinguishes them as being fantastically intelligent young teens.
These kids
are like the kids from last year's one-act plays who brought someone who was dead back to life. These Ilwaco High School students are miraculous people.
That's
when
a
it
wonderful
comes to science.
Thing.
It is.
Now, are you looking for people of all ages or 18 and older or what?
All ages. And you'll see that in some of the descriptions that we've had published in the Chinook Observer and some of the other publications in Astoria that there's an opportunity for young teens to come out. Older, mature adults are always welcome. And if people are stage fright, if they don't want to be an actor that's there's so many other opportunities we can address.
We were just talking with Shanghai folks about all the backstage stuff and all of the things that it takes to put on a production.
We'd love to have new people come in.
This is terrific. And this is in Ilwaco.
Ilwaco.
So it's not that far over the bridge. So if you're from the Oregon side,
and we're always in Oregon for all the wonderful events that we have here.
Right, right.
And the wonderful theater events here.
Yeah, and the bridge is, the bridge connects us. The river connects us rather than separates us.
It does.
So, so Joe Pagliani, who was just speaking, is the Bug Science Wizards of Ilwaco High. Go for it, folks. And he has written it. Have you? You've written? Yeah, you've had several plays.
This is the fifth production of one act that I've been fortunate to participate in.
Were you writing plays before?
Yes, I have been writing plays for such a long time. And it's so nice to have community theater welcome new writers such as myself.
And absolutely.
I'm so gratified that the Peninsula Players is there for us.
Yeah. Terrific. And and then we have, Lori Carter is directing Change of Scenery, which is written by Rose Power. Rose didn't want to direct her own play, huh? Okay. So, Lori, you stepped up to the plate.
I did, yes.
Was there any arm twisting?
No. No, because, I'm one of those people who likes to direct, you're the director. Oh, you did a marvelous job. I like that gratification I get.
So you mean even if, no matter what, people are going to say nice things to
you? Yeah, I've even directed a couple bombs. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So is it because you like bossing people around also, or no?
Oh, no, heavens
oh,
no.
Oh, gosh, no. Have you acted as well, Rose?
Yes, I have. I was in one of the very first one acts we did several years ago. Recently, you may have seen me in The Imaginary Invalid, where I played myself and my sister. And talking about young actresses, I was 18 years old and 12 years old in that one.
You could have fooled me, Ro.
Thank you. Last one I was in was, yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus. And there I regressed to Virginia, who was 8 years old.
Oh, my.
And that was a radio show, so it really didn't matter. But, yeah, I like being on both sides. Yeah. I'm more of a backstage person, though.
But I think that's helpful to be on stage. Mm-hmm. Then you know what it feels like to be
definitely
directed.
Yes.
Joe, have you ever been on stage?
Not for a long time.
Okay. Okay. And what is Change of Scenery in about? 25 words or less. Can you give us just a snapshot of that?
It's a recreation of a trip gone bad. A vacation trip gone bad.
Now, a physical trip, not a mind trip.
Right, got it.
Okay. And then Robert Brake is here, and I understand you also are you wrote the play and are directing it. Is that
right?
Okay.
Yes.
So, Dumpty's Demise. Okay, give us a hint. This is not Humpty Dumpty.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is.
This is a one-act comedy in two scenes. Humpty Dumpty was either pushed or it was an accident. It's a 10 to 12 minute play. I'm looking for three men and three women, anywhere between 20 and 50. It will vary. The parts are very short, with snappy dialogue, I hope. And it will be a lot of fun, especially auditioning next Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, because I have carefully chosen audition monologues that may in some ways be funnier than the play.
Oh, great. So that goes back to the idea that it's worth coming to the audition, even if you're thinking there is no way I'm going to be in a play, I have nothing to do Thursday or maybe Friday or maybe even Saturday morning. I'll just go on over to the River City Playhouse in Ilwaco and check it out, or I'll watch everybody else and laugh at them. And then the next thing you know, you're going, I could do that. And you get up there and you're on.
I auditioned a few years ago for Arsenic and Old Lace.
Oh, yes.
And it was the first time, and it was so much fun with all of the different people auditioning. And I was cast to be Mortimer Brewster, the murderous brother.
Oh dear!
In the play, and it apparently typecasting, but I had a conflict in terms of availability to get to the rehearsals and perform.
Mm-hmm.
But to this day, I'm wondering. I think I might have been very good as a murderous villain.
Well, next time, Arsenic and Old Lace is one of those plays that comes around. So we'll watch for
It'd
you
be
on
that
stage.
Ominous Raymond Massey type playing off of Cary Grant.
There you go. Sounds like quite the challenge. Well, the auditions, again, are coming up. When is the actual production?
The actual production begins August the 29th. At 7 p.m. at the River City Playhouse.
It's a Friday.
It's a Friday. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday, again, 7 p.m. at the River City Playhouse. And Sunday, we have a matinee at 2 p.m.
So it's just the one weekend.
It's the one weekend this year.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, now let me check this out. Yeah. If someone comes to the audition with a totally open mind, I mean, they may say, I know which play I want to be in. But if they come with an open mind... Yeah. Is that a possibility? They can just get up there and do something and, like Robert knows exactly what his audition's going to be. He can say, well, this person isn't going to fit in my play, but one of you two will say.
Or they could audition for a couple of plays.
Ah.
The lines in my one act are brief and would not require a lot of heavy memorization.
Okay.
So somebody could appear. By the way, it's the characters in my play, echoing what Joe said earlier, the names of my characters, the anchor is Can You Dig It? The announcers, the two females doing the announcing, are Sue Yu and Helen Back. The King's Man is Ben Dova.
So,
and then there's Doris... There's a Doris Dumpty, the grieving widow.
And clearly more comedy. It's going to be fun, and that sounds great, that people can come and be in several plays. And the fact that it's just the one weekend means that we were just talking to Shanghai, that's 10 weeks. So your commitment is a lot less.
Yeah.
The quality is just as high, if not, whatever, the tops when you're doing theater, but the time is less. So again, and is there a phone number people can call? Suppose they're going to be out of town that whole weekend, but they're interested.
The best number for them to call is 360-244-5700.
Okay. 360-244-5700.
Correct.
Okay, sounds great.
Yeah.
Well,
one other thing, Carol.
Okay.
This weekend on Saturday, we're having July 5th a wonderful production that's free at the Peninsula Playhouse called General Discord. It's the 234th Army Band that will present a wonderful free concert at the River City Playhouse. It's a free concert, family friendly.
6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Right.
Fireworks at the port afterwards. Enjoy the concert free.
Right.
It's an octet playing a variety of music from jazz to rock and roll to blues.
Sounds great. I love it.
That's
it's an army band called General Discord. You got it, folks. Where else could we have such a thing? Hey, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Carol.
To my guests, and that is Laurie Carter directing Rose Powers' Change of Scenery, Robert Brake directing his own play, Dumpty's Demise, and Joe Pagliani directing his play, The Bug Science Wizards of Ilwaco High, and producing the whole shebang. One Act Play Festival by Peninsula Players. Thanks, folks.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. Stay tuned, and you'll hear more about when it would get close to playtime as well. Right now, I have a piece of music and a dedication to a person who has changed the world for many, many people. He was he and the Dalai Lama became good friends because they talked the same language, and we are all very indebted to him for all of the gifts he gave. This is going out to Reb Zalman Schachter Shalomi, and who passed yesterday morning. And his 90th birthday was coming up in August. He will be with us forever. And here's a piece from his Beshert, his beloved wife, Eve Ilson, who is a magnificent singer and performer and was an amazing partner for Reb Zalman. Thanks for all the gifts.
It's so much.
Bien sûr, nous eûmes des orages. 20 ans d'amour, c'est l'amour fort. 1000 fois, tu pris ton bagage. 1000 fois, je pris mon envol. Et chaque meuble se souvient dans cette chambre sans berceau des éclats de vieilles tempêtes. Plus ne rien ressemblait rien, j'avais perdu le goût de l'eau, et toi, celui de la conquête. Mon amour, mon doux, mon tendre, mon merveilleux amour, de l'aube claire jusqu'à la fin du jour, je t'aime encore, tu sais. Je t'aime. I've always known of your flirtations, just as you've always known of mine. You've often saved me from temptations. I've often lost you for a time. You've taken lovers to your bed, only a pastime, as I've said. It's just the body's effervescence. At last we've managed to forget and be our age without regret, leaving behind our adolescence. I love you still. My sweet, my tender love, I love you still. I've loved you always, and I always will. Now more than ever, I adore you. Et plus le temps nous fait cortège, et plus le temps nous fait tourment. Mais laisse pas le pire piège que vivre en paix pour des amants. Bien sûr, je pleure un peu moins tôt, tu te déchires un peu plus tard, nous protégeons moins nos mystères. On laisse faire moins le hasard, on se méfie du fil de l'eau, mais c'est toujours la tendre guerre. Mon amour, mon doux, mon tendre, mon merveilleux amour, de l'aube claire jusqu'à la fin du jour. Je t'aime encore, tu sais, je t'aime.
That's Eve Ilson with our dedication for this show, actually, to Reb Zalman, Schachter Shalomi, and all of the sparks in this world that he ignited, all of the good. And my last guest for today is Tally Spiller, who has an unusual program that she is hosting, and I am very glad to have her here, and I'm excited to see what this will be. Tally is hosting quote, "for the love of life and loss, with music, storytelling, spoken word, and the preciousness of life and remembering those we have lost." Welcome, Tally.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am thrilled that you're here. So tell us, what is this program? Tell us all about it. When it is, it's at Gala.
Yes. So it's going to be at Gala on July 18th, so 2 weeks from today. And it's an opportunity for people to come and share their stories and art and really give dedication to people that they have lost. It was inspired. I, in December of last year, lost my father very suddenly to a heart attack. And as part of my own grieving process, I've been blessed to hear the stories of many people. And it, the idea just sort of started to formulate for me that I wanted to have an event like this where people could, you know, I know people have written songs about people they've lost. People, it's a deeply profound experience mm-hmm. when you lose somebody, and not something that's well understood until it happens to you personally. Mm-hmm. People often think that there's this intense short period of grieving and then you're okay mm-hmm. because you look okay and you act okay, but that loss is still felt very deeply. Mm-hmm. And there are some people in the world who make this huge impact. And there, most people just make a huge impact on the people closest to them. And so those stories and the ways in which they changed us and helped us grow as people, we often don't have an opportunity or an outlet to express and to remember. And so it might be, you know, right after someone dies, you have that opportunity a lot. You mm-hmm. have a memorial, and there's a lot of process and ceremony around it, and I think that's really beautiful. But I think it's still worthwhile if someone has passed, and it's been 20 years, and you mm-hmm. still have all of mm-hmm. these stories and impacts that are affecting you, to have an opportunity to share those.
Absolutely, and it's in our culture. I won't speak for others, but in our culture, people are uncomfortable with the subject of death and dying. And so you're right. Right afterwards, everyone is there for support. But often you're expected, whether it's whether you have a job, you're expected to go back in 2 weeks, or people say, what's with her? And some of us have a ritual once on the anniversary of the death. For example, mm-hmm. in my background, you light a 24-hour candle mm-hmm. and honoring the person, or yeah. we just heard from Eve. But this sounds like a wonderful opportunity for people to share. And as you say, some of it is just beautiful stuff. The artwork that goes with it, the songs, the stories.
Yeah, these are really deeply profound experiences, and they're deeply personal as well as a collective experience we mm-hmm. all will go through.
Yes.
It can feel very isolating when you lose somebody, especially in my age range. Most of my friends still have their parents.
Yeah.
But as we get older, it becomes something that we understand, and each one is unique. But we start to, as a community, understand it more and more. So this is an opportunity for the community to get to come together and feel something really deep and mm-hmm. be able to celebrate these lives that mm-hmm. existed. Sometimes, you know, if something only happened between two people and one of those people is dead, there starts to be a questioning of, did it happen? Mm-hmm. And so getting the opportunity to talk about it and have that story be shared with other people, it breathes life into it a little bit.
I'm remembering at Fisher Poets Gathering, some of the poets share their stories about family members or friends, and it's very powerful and brings people together. It doesn't scare people off. So tell us now, how does one become involved in this? If one wants to share something, what do they do?
Well, I would very much encourage you to get in touch with me in the next week if you'd like to be part of the curated first portion of the evening. So I've separated it into two acts.
Uh-huh.
The first act will have a set list of people that have signed up that want to participate. And you can reach me via phone. My phone number is 510-355-6498 or by email tallie26@gmail.com. Or if you're my Facebook friend, you can find me there as well. But anyway, you want to, or you just contact me in the, you see me at the co-op or anywhere around town and just tell me you want to be part of it. That's fine.
Is there still a juice bar happening?
Yeah, or? Yeah, okay. At all the markets. So if
in
you find
case
me.
In you're wondering, who is this woman? This is Tally with the juice bar. You've
yes.
seen her around town.
Yeah, so find me anywhere I exist. It's
right.
not hard.
Right.
Or if you don't get in touch with me in time to be part of the first act, the second act will be an open mic style. So people can just come, and if they hear all these stories and they're like, I want to talk about my grandma, that's fine as well.
Right.
You know, but some people really want to have the time to prepare and know that they're going to participate. And presentations will be limited to 5 minutes. So it's enough time to tell a story or, you know, perform a song, whatever it is that you're interested in doing. It's really open. It can be poem, spoken word, just a storytelling thing, anything that
song.
You, anything that you imagine.
And you know, something else that might happen is if you do not want to share a story, you don't want to get up front. You will hear people, and something may trigger for you, and then you search that person out, and you can share with them.
Exactly.
Or, it's a wonderful idea. I'm very, very happy that you're doing this. What time is it happening on the 18th? That's a Friday night,
So the doors 18th. Will open at 7. We'll probably get started around 7:30.
Okay.
Yeah, probably go till 9. And then afterwards, there'll be an intermission, and we'll have hors d'oeuvres and, you know, we'll have beer
open.
And wine.
Mm-hmm.
And people can mingle and tell stories, you know, afterwards
right.
as well.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be something for you to participate. You have to be willing to perform in front of a group of people. There's also, you know, you can just come and enjoy the community and the other
and
people.
And support people. Now, are you familiar with the concept of... the death cafes that are happening.
I am. Yeah, and I think it's a fabulous idea. I really think that anytime we, you know, get together and want to talk about our mortality, I think that's a positive thing. To like you were saying, often in our culture we shy away from the concept of death, and death is really
it's part of life.
It is part of life, and it's what makes life precious.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it's sort of a cliche, but you know, the seize the day. That's
absolutely
and. It's what, propels us to really make the most out of what we have here. So I think that's a shame that our culture has gone that way, where we try to just keep people alive at all costs and not address, you know, the quality of our lives.
And this is an opportunity for you to check it out. If you're not sure, if you're thinking, whoa, this is too heavy for me, come on out. Check it out. And you can always leave if it is too heavy. But I have a feeling that it's going to bring people up rather than down.
I think so as well.
Yeah. And there is in the hospice movement, the Lower Columbia Hospice, there's a new person in town from Portland who has been talking about starting the Astoria Death Cafe. And when I first saw the words in the subject line of the email, I went, whoa, what is that? And then I read on and I thought, wow, this is precious. And it's been going on all over the country now, where people just come together in small groups, in that case, sitting at tables and just visiting with one another and sharing stories and making it okay for us to talk about it, to feel and to explore. And
one more element that I wanted to add
please.
Is that it's also an opportunity if you're someone who is facing your own mortality, if you have a terminal illness and that's changed your perception of life or any way that you feel you want to tap into this event. So it's an opportunity to explore both death and dying as a concept.
Very good. Thank you so much, Tally Spiller, hosting For the Love of Life and Loss, happening July 18th. That's Friday, 2 weeks from today. And at Gala, that's Hipfish on Marine Drive. And the doors open at 7. The event starts at 7:30. And spread the word. Thank you very
Thank you
much,
so
Tally,
much.
And thanks for coming in. Excellent. If you want to get hold of Tally, 510-355-6498, tally26@gmail.com. Okay. This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. There's lots going on, needless to say. It's, after all, considered a holiday today, so all over the place there's things happening. If you have animals, please, please protect them, take care of them, make sure that they are secure and secured and will not be frightened by any of the fireworks that are going on. I have a tune from the Floating Glass Balls. They're going to be at the Sunday Astoria Market this Sunday. Have a listen.
I am a traveler, wandering along, where all these footsteps, they all come from. So many souls, I've crossed their path, death and destruction, and happiness. Fields of green, fields of mustard, fields of brown will turn green. Hills of white, hills of amber. Land of peace is a poor man's dream.
It's a song by Spud Siegel. Peace for all the people.
These rock walls stand.
It's a good song for today.
Against the rules of modern man. Over the hill, it looks like rain. Hearing the thunder, I feel the pain. Peace for all.
Well, I have another piece of music I wanted to have a quick hear and also let you know what's happening. This is Michael Hurley from his LP. He's going to be at Fort George as part of this Liberating the Ales. I'm going to have to talk over Michael, sorry. He's tomorrow. And the event is going on, Liberate the Ales is going on right now at Fort George with music starting at 6 o'clock, Otis Heat and the Quick and Easy Boys tonight, Michael Hurley and Louis Longmire, plus the Quick and Easy Boys again tomorrow, and then Sunday at 6 is the Resolectrics. North Coast Symphonic Band, well, they may be getting over right now. So I hope you enjoyed the concert. Tonight at 7 o'clock, Derek Sims Septet Jazz with Paul Duber hosting at the Cannon Beach City Park. Manzanita Farmers Market 528 with Jason Okamoto in music. Klatskanai, Great Vows and Monastery is part of the festivities there. Check it out. Rising Star Cafe has Omahase Day, Japanese for entrust. And it's a calm and lovely port for them. Bob Brook Piano. That was at 2, actually, sorry. But there's stuff going on all day. The Artisan Fair in Oysterville is just about over for today, but it's happening again tomorrow, 10 to 4, at the Oysterville Schoolhouse. The Adrift, the Holiday Friends are tonight. And then Saturday and Sunday, the Brazilianaires. And Monday is Luke and Katie, our very own Luke and Katie, and the baby. Go see. And the White Bird is featuring a new show with 6 artists Friday and Saturday all day during their open hours. Saturday, Gearhart Art Walk 2 to 5 and Seaside Art Walk 5 to 7. At 3 o'clock is the Oregon Army Band at the Vets Field in Long Beach.
Jazz Attitude at Great Northern Garlic Company, 6 to 8. You heard all about the Peninsula Players Army Band, General Discord, Kiss Tribute Band, 9 o'clock at Nehalem ML Pub and Grub, Baby Gramps, 3 to 5 at Nehalem Bay Winery, and Peter Pants, Day of Cosmic Congregation. Coaster Theater on Saturday and next Thursday is featuring the 39 Steps. They're Dark Tonight. And Sunday is Into the Woods. Acoustica tomorrow night is at the Astoria Coffee House and Bistro at 9 o'clock for a 60s dance, Summer of Love. And the Sand Dune is featuring Hell. What can I tell you? Radio Giants at the Voodoo Room at 9. And right across the street, oh boy, from the 60s. And Gearhart Remembered at 2 o'clock, the Back Alley Gardens and Natural Nook. Sunday, National Guards, Heroes and Villains at 2 at the Liberty. Floating Glass Balls, you just heard, at the Astoria Sunday Market. Kitchen